your prevailing attitude towards God will spill over into everything else in your life. It's the deepest thing about you, and therefore it will manifest itself in other spheres of your life. So if this changes, everything else changes.
Welcome to Open the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, we're in a series called Repentance. You've called it the hidden path to a transformed life. You see, if you really want to change your life to be transformed, you have to have the right attitude about God.
Yeah, that's right. The right prevailing attitude towards God. I mean, what is that for you right now? Would you say that the first thing that comes to your mind with regards to your attitude to God is that you love Him, that you worship Him, that you treasure Him? I mean, that's going to spill out into your life. Or if your prevailing attitude is that you struggle with Him, that you question Him, that you doubt Him, well, that's going to spill out into your life as well. Now, we're looking, Steve, today at the story of Job, and he had real struggles with God.
Yeah.
But what happened was that he caught a greater glimpse of the glory of God, and that changed his prevailing attitude. And he came from being a struggler and a questioner in the light of difficult things that had happened in his life, tragic things that had happened in his life.
Sure.
But he became a worshiper, and it transformed him from the inside out. And that opens up a glorious possibility, I think, for every one of us today.
Now, you may be listening and saying, how can that happen for me? That's part of what we're going to get to in today's broadcast. So if you can, grab your Bible, join us in Job 42 as we continue a message, worshiping as much as you know of your God. Here is Pastor Colin.
Now, the breakthrough in Job's life as a believing man who has issues with God comes in this great encounter that's described in chapter 38 through 40-41. And if you turn to these chapters for a moment now, if you would, Job chapter 38, you'll see there, if you just glance through it, that God asks of Job nearly 40 questions, and Job can't answer a single one of them. He'd been a worshiper of God all his life. But now he's seeing that God is far greater and far more glorious than he had ever imagined. And he realizes that all of his big questions about what he doesn't understand in his own life, all these questions are only a tiny fraction of what he does not know. Job had been trying to make sense of the mystery of his suffering. He'd been at odds with God, though he were a faithful man, the finest man who ever lived. But when he saw the glory of God, he found that he could live with his pain, and he could live with his unanswered questions, because he knew this God. He says in chapter 42, "I spoke of things I did not understand. My ears had heard of you. Now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I repent." In order to apply this, let me ask you a question. You might like to take a bit of paper, two sides, two questions, the answer to each question, one on each side of a bit of paper, if you want to do this, or you might just want to do it in your mind, that's fine. But will you engage with these two questions? Number one, what is your prevailing attitude towards God right now? What is your prevailing attitude towards God right now? Can you get it in one word? See, some of us will want to say honestly with Job, it's questioning, complaining, resenting. That's okay. Job was there, and God knows about it. Now, on the other side of the bit of paper, will you answer this question? What would be your prevailing attitude towards God if you saw His glory? See, if you saw His glory, you would have complete confidence in Him for all the unknown future. If you saw His glory. If you saw His glory, you would be able to trust him with what you don't understand now. And if you saw his glory, you would love him. In fact, the answer to this second question is, if you saw his glory, your prevailing attitude towards God would be faith, hope, and love. And you know this, your prevailing attitude towards God will spill over into everything else in your life. You know, if your prevailing attitude towards God is questioning or complaining or resenting, it will spill over into your relationship with your spouse. It'll spill over into your relationship with your kids, your grandkids, your colleagues at work. It's the deepest thing about you, and therefore it will manifest itself in other spheres of your life. So if this changes, everything else changes. That's why it's the first issue that we're addressing. You come to know God, it changes you at the deepest level. You come to know him more, it changes you more at the deepest level. And that will spill over everywhere else. Knowing God will change your life. It's what happened to Job when he caught a glimpse of God's glory. Now, we'll come in just a few moments' time to getting a glimpse of God's glory. But I want to give a second benefit first that's very obvious here in the story of Job. And that is that knowing God will not only change your life, but knowing God will heal your heart. This is a wonderful thing, that knowing God will heal your heart as a Christian believer. Now here's something very, very fascinating that I discovered this week. At least it was fascinating to me. C.H. Spurgeon notes that the Hebrew word that is rightly translated in Job 42 as repent is also used and translated in several other places in the Old Testament to express comfort. When I read this, I was a little surprised. I've checked this out. It's absolutely right. Genesis chapter 24 and verse 67. Isaac took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. The word that is used there in Genesis 24 for Isaac was comforted after his mother's death is the same word as Job uses for I repent. It's very odd that one word could be translated repent and comfort. Hey, well, maybe it's not so odd if there's joy in repentance. There's comfort in repentance too. And so it would be legitimate, actually, to translate what Job says here in chapter 42 as, my ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you, and so I comfort myself with dust and ashes. You say, now wait a minute, that makes no sense. How, what comfort could there possibly be in dust and ashes? Well, just this, that he has finally resolved his conflict with God. So let's face it, being out of sorts with God is the most terrible thing for a Christian believer. It's awful. And when Job sees the glory of God and he finally is able to live with his unresolved questions and to set aside the complaint that's been burning within him, it's a tremendous relief because he loves God. And he's been carrying this awful burden of a strain in the relationship that matters most in his life. And now the conflict is over. It's like a monkey is off his back. Now you see, if you have come to a place like Job where experiences of life have raised hard, hard questions for you before God, and you may have come, even as someone who attends church on Sunday morning, you may have become someone who's more a questioner of God, standing there with all your questions when others are singing his praises. Boy, to see his glory and for that to be resolved between you and God would be the greatest relief of your life. It would be a healing of your heart. Job found that as long as he was out of sorts with God, he could not find peace. And so when he comes to that resolution, there's this huge relief. I repent. I comfort myself in dust and in ashes. By the way, this reference to dust is very interesting. Dust. Many times the Old Testament refers to repentance either in dust and ashes or in sackcloth. These folks in the Old Testament used these physical, outward, material expressions to express the inwardness of what was going on in their hearts. Why dust? Well, the Bible tells us that we're made from dust, that we'll return to dust. And in Psalm 103, it tells us that God remembers that we're dust. The problem is sometimes we forget that we're dust and expect to know and understand everything. And that's where Job had got to. To want to understand all things, to be able to control all things, to be able to shape all things. And he finds tremendous comfort in being able to say, no, that's for God. I remember now who I am. See, trying to be God tears you apart, but submitting yourself to God brings comfort and peace. And the dust reminds us of who we are. I comfort myself with dust and ashes. I don't need to know all the mysteries of life. All I need to know is that you are in control of my life and that I am a child of your love. It is enough for me to know that you have made me, that you breathe life into me, and that when this body returns to dust, I will see you and I will be with you. And then I will know, even as now I am known. What a relief. To stop the churning, questioning, and complaining, the resenting, the struggling, the conflict in the relationship that matters most. And it happened when Job saw God's glory. Knowing God will change your life, knowing God will heal your heart.
You're listening to Open the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith and part of a message called Worshiping as Much as You Know of Your God. It's part of a series called Repentance, something Pastor Colin has called the hidden path to a transformed life. Because when we truly repent, we change direction, and we walk and grow in a relationship with Jesus. If you want to go back and listen to any broadcast in the series you may have missed, you can do that at our website, openthebible.org. Well, maybe you've recently become a follower of Jesus, or you know someone who has, and you're wondering, okay, now what? How do I begin to grow? Or how can I lead someone in a discipleship process? What could I teach them? Well, Pastor Colin has written a book called 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life. And this book would be a great place to start. It's taking a look at the book of 1 Peter, and as you dive into and study 1 Peter, you really learn how to study other books of the Bible as well. We'd love to send you a copy of 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can find out more or give online at openthebible.org. That's openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Knowing God will change your life, knowing God will heal your heart. This is where real change begins. This is where we find the hidden path to a transformed life. Well, that leaves us with one very obvious question, and it's simply this. Then how can I know God? How can I see some glimpse of His glory? I want to suggest two answers to that question. They're very practical and they're things to be pursued. Not tried once, but to be pursued as the pattern of life. They're very simple. Simply ask and look. Number one, ask. Ask. There's a great prayer of Moses recorded in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 18, where Moses prays, "Show me your glory." Now, have you prayed like that? Is that a prayer that often characterizes what you ask of God. You ask many things of God if you're a Christian. Do you ever ask for this? Do you ask for it often? It's probably Moses' greatest prayer. It's one of the shortest and greatest prayers in all of the Bible. Lord, show me your glory. Ask. For it is God who reveals himself to us. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ has something very important to say to us about this. You'll find it in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 27. Matthew 11, 27, Jesus says this, "No one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." No one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. In other words, it's Jesus who will make the glory of God known to you. This risen Lord Jesus Christ, through whom you come when you bring your prayer to God, it is he who will choose to make the Father's glory known to you. In other words, you will never know the glory of God apart from Jesus Christ. You have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to come to this risen Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord Jesus, show me your glory. Show me the glory of the Father. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. Why is it that in a gathered congregation, worshipping together, some people see the glory of God and others don't? Why is that? Ask that you may see. What a tragedy to be someone who's generally a believer, who never glimpses much more of the glory of the Lord than you did 10 or 20 years ago. Make this your prayer every time you read the Bible. Make this your prayer every time you come to worship. Lord, show me your glory. Let me see with the eyes of faith something more of how great and marvelous you are, because if that happens, I will change. You will. And if that happens, my heart will be healed. Ask. And here's the second thing. Look. Look. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. Paul says to us that God has made the light, his light shine into our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He's given us the light of the knowledge of his glory. He's given it to us in the face of Jesus Christ. So if I am asking of God that he would give me the spiritual discernment to perceive his glory, then the natural response is that I should look in the direction from which his glory is revealed, and that is the person and work of Jesus Christ. You see, Job had a theophany. You have the incarnation. And the incarnation is more than a theophany. So if you want to see the glory of God, look as fully as you can into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at him in his compassion, embracing children in his arms, weeping with family and friends at a gravesite, touching a leper that no one else would go near. This is your God. See his glory. Look at him in his authority, confronting those who abuse power in his temple, throwing them out, casting out demons, 100 of them, from a man who is out of his mind and restoring him to sanity. Breathing on his disciples and saying, receive the Holy Spirit, and as the Father sent me, now so I am sending you. This is your God. Look at him at his greatest work, dying on the cross as an atonement for your sins. Rising from the dead so that you could have everlasting life. Ascending to the right hand of the Father so that there he should represent you and speak your name and give to you what you need in all the struggles and unresolved mysteries of your life. This is your God. Look and then ask yourself, what is there about this Jesus that I cannot trust? What is there about this Jesus that I cannot love? And if I come to know as I do this Jesus, why should I not have hope? The first direction for lasting change in life is knowing God. When God's glory begins increasingly to captivate your mind and your heart, you will change. And you will find yourself on the hidden path that leads to a transformed life.
What a great prayer for us to think about as we wrap up our time together, asking the Lord to show us His glory. You're listening to Open the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called Worshiping as Much as You Know of Your God. It's part of a larger series called Repentance, where we're taking a look how repentance is actually the hidden path to a transformed life. And if you miss any of the broadcasts in this series, you can come and you can listen at our website. That's openthebible.org, and you can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Again, that's openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is listener-supported, and that is just what it sounds like. We depend on your generosity to keep Pastor Colin's teaching on this station. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you Pastor Colin's book, 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life. And Colin, what can a person expect to get out of this book?
Well, very simply, it will take you right the way through the first letter to Peter, just 5 chapters in the New Testament. But this very important letter really lays out the basics that any Christian believer needs to grasp hold of. And so it's a marvelous letter for getting established in the faith. It's really helpful for anyone who is a new believer or anyone who feels like, you know, I just need to get the foundations set clear in my life. One of the things that I love about going through this letter, or indeed any book of the Bible, is that it allows God to set the agenda. See, it's very easy to think, well, we know what a new Christian needs to learn. And if I was coming up with a list, Steve, I'd say, well, it has to be something about prayer, there has to be something about witnessing, has to be something about reading the Bible and so forth. And all of these things, of course, are there in 1 Peter. But I probably wouldn't put on my list, you know, we need to retain our own freedom in Christ. We need to walk in humility, and we need to be ready for what it is to suffer. I'm not sure I'd put that in my list, but they're all there in 1 Peter. Why are they there? Because God knows that every new believer needs these things as well as the others that might come first to our minds. So it's a marvelous thing to get into one book of the Bible. And as you learn how to learn from one book of the Bible, well, then you'll be ready to go on to another book of the Bible, and you'll be on your way in terms of growing in the Christian life.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this book. It is called 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life, and it is our thank you for your financial support this month. You can call us and give a gift over the phone. Our number is 877-673-6365. That's 1-877-OPEN-365. Or our website is openthebible.org. That's openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. Open the Bible Weekend is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. You've become a Christian, so why do you still struggle with so many sins and temptations? Is that normal, or is there something still wrong with you? Find out on the next Open the Bible Weekend.